Well, would you take your Bibles tonight and turn to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. This is our third session or study in growing in godliness. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to spend just a moment going through this verse, these two verses. And it begins with a word that says, therefore. So when you see therefore, you ask yourself, what's it there for? Because of what Paul just said before that. So I want to back up to verse 33. And listen to this, as Paul just praises God. He says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay Him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of what God's done, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, I come to you tonight asking you, Lord, that you'll speak to me, you'll speak to us, that, Lord, you, by your Holy Spirit, will just again fill us with your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding. Lord, we, on our own, we have none. But with you, Lord, we can see the riches and the glories of you. We can understand what you're all about. We can get close to you. We can understand the direction that you have for us. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we choose to grow in godliness, that, Lord, you will abide in us and we will abide in you, and that your Spirit will flow through us to people all around us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we want to look at tonight is the battle of the mind. Now, again, we just read this passage talking about not conforming any longer to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. There is a battle that rages in our minds. There is a battle that just continually flaunts itself and throws itself against the things of God. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, what we think matters way more than anything else, because what we think is going to flesh itself out in us one way or the other. And so Paul says that we ought to bring our minds into conform them not to the patterns of this world, but transform them by the renewing of our mind by the Holy Spirit. So in our minds, there's got to be something that controls it. We either control it or someone else does. Right? Proverbs 16:32 says, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Now, you think about that. In the world's concept, it's totally different. They're all for these people who go and take over. They look up to them and they call them stars and they call them heroes and all these other things. But the fact is it's better to be a patient person, the scripture says. Now, it doesn't mean we don't need to go to war. We do. But that's on our knees. It says one with self-control rather than one who takes a city. In other words, from God's perspective, it's so much more important what's on the inside of us rather than what we do. Because if the inside is right, then the outside will follow suit. If you see a person who claims to know Christ and claims to be walking with Him, and yet they can't control themselves, they lose their temper, they do whatever they might do, there's a problem there. And the problem is on the inside of all of us. We all have issues that we face when self gets in the way. It's kind of like you want to go somewhere, but when you get to a certain point, there's a roadblock. And it says detour. And you got to choose, well, do I want to go on this detour? Do I want to turn around and go back where I was? Or do I want to wait till they fix the road? I don't know. You know, we have to make those choices. The fact is for us is we've got to determine, am I going to listen to the Spirit of God as He leads me? Or am I going to go out there and do stuff and then ask Him to bless me on the way out? Our minds are amazing things. People still can't fathom how amazing our minds are. Now, I know computers have gotten really good, and they can do lots of things. But we have a computer in our head that is amazing. Like a computer, but it often remembers too much. Have you ever noticed that? We remember too much. The things that we should get rid of, we don't. We harbor them. We hang on to them, thinking that someday I might need this. And of course, the things that we do need, we can't find them, right? We have lasting scars. But the Scripture reminds us to guard our hearts and our minds at all costs. In other words, the only way that we can think on the things of God and the only way that we can act on the things of God is make sure that everything we think and everything that we do is based on God and His presence in our life. And that's why it's so important to make sure that we're not living in the world. We're not, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's the power of the mind. Then there's the progression of sin in our lives. I like how it's put here because it reminds us that a sin isn't just something we just pop up and just do. Typically, sins are something we've thought about doing. Impure thoughts and motives. We tend to adjust to society and what they think. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. I remember when I was a young boy, my mom took me to see a movie. Now, we didn't get to go to the movie very often, but she took me to see a movie. It's called Gone with the Wind. Anybody know where I'm heading with this? The very first time in a real movie that was out there for the public that the word D-A-M-N was used. And as soon as he said it, everybody just went, oh. Now think about today. That's used on public TV. It's used on the radio. It's used all the time. Why? Because it doesn't seem to bother anybody anymore. Does it bother you when people use God's name in vain? It does me. See, but we adjust to the society. If society starts to think things are okay, well, that's the way it is. It's like the frog in the kettle. You know that illustration. If you put a frog in a kettle of water and put it on the stove, he's just going to sit there in there, and you turn up the degrees, little by little by little, he'll sit there and boil in that pot. That's what's happening in our world. And it comes from our impure thoughts and motives. If we just let them stay there, we don't get rid of them, we don't ask God to cleanse us and purify our minds and our hearts, before long, we're just like everybody else. Accepting everything else, going with the flow, thinking it's not a big deal. Sin is a big deal to God. You know why? Because He took all sin on Himself. All sin. rationalization. Well, we start making excuses. Oh, I know I blew it that time, but, God will forgive me. And you can rationalize yourself along the way, and I can too. So those impure thoughts turn into rationalizations, and rationalizations turn into compromise. See, tiny things ruin the big things. Song of Solomon 2:15, and Solomon should know, by the way. He says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. You see, it wasn't one big thing that came in and ruined the vineyards. It was a bunch of little things. So godliness is looking at our own personal life and looking even at the little things and saying, I don't want those. If they don't honor God, if they don't please God, I don't need those in my life. We can't compromise. But impure thoughts and motives bring rationalization. That brings compromise. And compromise brings a loss of control. You see, what you'll do compromising one time, you'll think, well, I already did it, so it won't matter anymore. It does matter. It does matter. Instead of controlling our thoughts, they begin to control us. So like how this one author put it, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. When you think about that, it literally makes sense because what we do, even in private, especially in private, is sowing a seed that will come to fruition. And I can tell you, folks, that rips my heart out thinking about it because there are things in my heart and mind sometimes that I allow to be there that shouldn't be there. They just shouldn't. Defeat is a byproduct of disobedience. But victory is a byproduct of obedience. You see, one of the things that Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, specifically in the 15th chapter of John, in fact, just turn there with me for just a moment because I want to look at this. It's not on the drop down, but if you're listening and you want to turn to it as well, turn to John chapter 15, and I want to show you a verse that just kind of jumps out at me when I think about it. It's chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. Actually, verse 10, let's start there. If you obey my commands, Jesus talking to his disciples, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, what it sounds like is that if you are disobedient, you fall out of the love of God. That's not what it means. But that's what it sounds like. What it literally means is this. Jesus is telling them, if you will abide in me, that's what he's been saying this whole time, if you'll stay with me, if you'll follow me, if you'll listen to me, if you'll obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. In other words, you will receive the benefits of my love. You can't qualify or quantify the amazing things that God will do in you by His love if you'll just stay abiding in Him. If I'll just stay abiding in Him. He wants to give us so much more than we have, not necessarily physical things at all. He wants to give us so much more than we have. But he's waiting on us to open up to him. He's waiting on us to receive the things that and do the things that he's already commanded us to do. So victory is a byproduct of obedience. The problem is input. What are we putting in to ourselves? If we're going to put in good things, then that's what's going to come out of us. The old term in the computer world is garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in, that's exactly what's going to come out. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So what are we putting into ourselves? hours and hours of watching TV, listening to, you know, news or whatever else, we'll sit there and we'll take all this stuff in. It was interesting to me one time as a youth pastor, I was talking to a group of our teenage girls. Actually, my wife was kind of talking to them. I was just there. But we had talked about what she was going to say. And she mentioned them. Now, listen, let me ask you a question. How long does it take you to get ready to come to church? And they're going like, oh, you know, or go to school or you know, go out of the house and on a date or whatever. Oh, you know, it takes me an hour and a half, 2 hours. Wow. That's an investment. How long do you spend with the Lord each day? And they're like, I got like a 10-minute quiet time. Okay, so what does that say? It says how you look when you go out into public is more important to you than how you are on the inside. Right? What you put in is going to come out. You ask guys the same thing. It's like, 5 minutes. I got up, combed my hair, I'm out of here. You know, but I mean, and I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't take care of yourself physically and look nice and all that. I'm just saying, if you're going to put that much time in doing it, how much time are you putting on into getting your heart and your mind right? So in that passage we read just a little bit ago out of Romans chapter 12, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Metamorphosis. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. It's the principle of replacement. It means what's in here needs to be replaced by what God says and who God is. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. But if we were honest with ourselves, I dare say that much of our day is focused on things of this world. You might say, well, how am I supposed to do my job? How am I supposed to, you know, live? How am I supposed to earn a living? Here's the deal. The deal is this. If you focus totally on the things of this world, which most people do during the day, then you come to the end of the day and you go like, oh, yeah, how much time have I really spent talking to God? How much time have I really been in His Word? How much time have I really communicated with Him and allowed Him to communicate with me? And we find that, you know, we just go, well, I messed up. I'll try to do better tomorrow. And the fact is we've got to renew our mind. We've got to start looking at things from an absolutely different perspective. If we keep looking at our lives from the same perspective we always have in the past, nothing's going to change. But we start looking at it from His perspective. What does God see when He sees us? What does He have in mind and in store for us today and tomorrow and the next day if He gives us those? Psalm 119, verse 37 says, turn my eyes away from the worthless things. Preserve my life according to Your Word. There's a key right there. According to Your Word. Well, if I don't know what His Word says, then I'm not going to know how to do that. So, should we be spending more time in the Word? Here's a challenge for anyone who's listening tonight. Do you spend as much time in the Word as you do watching TV? Do you spend as much time in God's Word as you do reading the newspaper? You spend as much time in God's Word as you do doing activities? How can we think that it's okay to spend all this time doing all the other things that we want to do and just leave a little a little niche over here that we give to God. And then we wonder why we stumble, why we're not where we need to be, why God is not using us the way He wants to. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart, so I will not sin against you. What does that mean to you? It means His word is more important to me than anything else. I remember a few years back, there was a lady in our church, and I'm not going to mention which church, but there was a lady in our church, and she was talking, you know, I went over to her house one day, just elderly lady, and she was so nice. She was always, you know, cooking us little meals and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that just shocked me, we were sitting around talking after we'd eaten supper, and I said, you know, I asked her, what's your day like now? I mean, I know your husband's passed away and you're kind of by yourself. What do you do during the day? She said, well, the first thing I do in the morning, and I'm thinking, yeah, she's going to tell me she's going to get into, is I get the newspaper and I read my horoscope. And I'm going like, really? You know, if that's what you're looking to, I remember Carmen saying, why do we keep looking at the stars rather than the Creator of the stars? David said in Psalm 51:10, and we could pray this prayer every single day, most all day long, create in me the clean heart of God and renew a steadfast spirit within me. By the way, the word steadfast means one who will continue without stopping. Continue without stopping. Some people call that being hard-headed. But in the spiritual realm, it's one of the greatest qualities you can have. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going, no matter what. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. In other words, Paul was telling the church at Corinth, listen, this walk with Christ is every single day, all day long. And He just continues to renew our minds and our hearts. He continues to make us more like the mind of Christ. He continues to make us walk in His way and not our way when we allow Him to. You would think, well, God is God. He could just come take over and make us do everything. He could. There's no doubt He could do anything. But what He's chosen to do is allow us to make decisions on whether we really love Him enough to do what He's saying for us to do. I love this passage in Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree that's planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. I spent a large majority of my life in West Texas, and the only trees that we had were close to a river. I mean, we had tumbleweeds that were as big as trees, but we didn't have trees, you know. It was just like, or mesquite bushes or sagebrush or whatever else. But there, wherever the rivers were, that's where the trees were. I think that might fit in a little bit with what Jesus was saying. I am the river of living water, and I want to flow through you. So where are you going to be? Are you going to be next to the living water? Or are you going to be out in the desert doing your own thing? These are all choices we have to make. Growing in godliness is a choice. It's having His mind and not our mind. It's not allowing sin to take over, but it's saying no to our sins in our life. And it's allowing Him to come in and change things around in our mind that need to be changed. Do I need my mind changed? Absolutely. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much For your word is, it's always right, it's always true. It always shows us exactly what we're to do. I pray, Father, that we will listen more to you than the rest of this world. That we will choose to allow you to control rather than ourselves to control. And that, Father, we will get rid of the trash that's in our trash can, in our mind, in our heart. We'll delete it. And instead, we will continually feed on the Word of God and allow your Holy Spirit to grow more and more in us every single day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.